I thank God for what we've already felt, the moving of His Holy Spirit and the compassion that so many of you have one for another. And that, it just excites my soul that people going through so much themselves still have others upon their hearts and asking God to be with them and to help them this morning. Book of Luke, the 3rd chapter, if you found it and like to follow along with us, let's go down to verses 15 through 18. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered and said unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner. But the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. And stop reading there, verse 18 today. And as we so often say, God puts these thoughts in our minds, and God has got it all orchestrated if we will just follow Him. This morning I'd like to preach to you a message that we have never preached before. So I really need your help this morning. Entitled, Fighting Fire with Fire. Fighting fire with fire. Don't that sound wonderful? In the 16th verse, John was telling about a man that was coming that would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. And then in the 17th verse, he is telling us what sin is doing to our people, that they are like the chaff that is gathered into the garner, and they are burned with fire unquenchable. He is telling us about fighting fire with fire. Sin is a raging fire that is burning throughout the midst of this world. I don't know if we've ever seen sin rage like it is today. There were a time when people were ashamed of their sin, a time when they tried to hide their sin. But today that flame has engulfed to where so many of them are proud of what they have done in their sinful lives. And John was telling them that I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one that is to come. In fact, I'm not even worthy to bow down and the latchets of his shoes. I am unworthy to unloose. But the one that is coming after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many of you have the Holy Ghost living in you today? If you've been saved, you have the Holy Ghost. But as we see today, out in California and in Australia, that there are wildfires that are burning. And they're consuming hundreds and thousands of acres. And just like sin, everywhere that flame goes, it consumes everything in its path. It's a lot like Solomon was teaching in the book of Proverbs, when we read about that, the preacher that was telling us there, that this flame is going to and fro, and there is nothing that is being spared. Not your family, not mine, not your children or mine or your grandchildren or mine, or loved ones that we have today and friends. Sin is consuming everything and everybody in its path. And sometimes we say, We don't have anything to fight with. Just like those firefighters that are out there. And I'm just giving you today what I know about it. I am not a firefighter in the sense of fighting these natural fires. They use everything at their disposal to try to fight that fire. But oftentimes, Ray, instead of containing the fire gets out of hand. The winds shift and it goes in a different direction and it consumes hundreds and thousands of more acres. That's the way sin is today, in that we try to cap it at one way, and Satan will change the direction of the fire and send it in another path. If he can't get you on one thing, he'll try everything he's got in his arsenal to try to devour you and your life. He doesn't care that you're somebody's son or daughter. He doesn't care that you've got loving parents or grandparents. He has come to kill, steal, and destroy everything that he can. And we say, but Lord, we have nothing to fight with. But God has given us a fire that we can fight with. That sometimes in those, we've seen on the news that when a natural fire is burning, that Brother Jeff, what they'll do is they will start a fire to combat the fire that is raging. Oh, I wish the church of God had more fire in her today to fight against this fire that the devil is bringing against us. That we had more fire. We used to have fire in the pews. We used to have fire in the pulpit. We used to have fire in the altar. And people say, is there really fire in the church of the living God? And there is a fire in God's church. It's not a consuming fire. How many of you remember Moses when he saw that bush that was up on the mountain of fire with burning with fire? He said, I have to go and see this bush that burns, but it's not consumed. But God can be a consuming fire. In that, the fire that was within us that Satan had started in our lives, and it was destroying us. How many of us realize, had not God come in our life, we would have been destroyed? That ought to make a Baptist church want to rejoice on a Sunday morning. Somebody, Brother David, as we put that thing out there on Facebook, somebody ought to say, preach it, preacher, that the fire would just fall from heaven. We used to have fire, but now Satan's fire, how many of us realize it and understand that it looks like Satan's fire is burning beyond being able to be contained? It's burning everywhere. It's burning around your neighborhoods, around my neighborhoods. It's burning in our workplaces, and it's even burning in our schoolhouses. Sin is raging like a mighty fire. And it's going to consume us today if we're not careful and we don't get the fire back into the house of God and back into our lives. They start a fire to put out a fire. And some of us say, that sounds crazy, right? And where did they come up with this idea? I believe they got it from God's word. God is fighting the devil's fire with his own fire. And we've got the fire within us. If you've been saved, you don't have to get the fire. You've already got the fire. It's within us. How many of us today love our families and friends and our church so much that we're willing to fight for them and for their lives? Let me be the fire. And sometimes all we are is a good pilot light. Did you know a pilot light doesn't give out much heat? But when you turn the flame up, you can feel the heat. I like to feel the heat in the house of God. To where it comes down, you say, well, what's the difference between the Holy Ghost and the fire? The Holy Ghost was put within us to guide us and to lead us. Let us know that we pass from death unto life. You know what the fire is? The fire is when we feel the presence of God come down in the midst of the church. We can feel that flame get higher and higher within our souls and within our hearts today. Fighting fire with fire. They start that fire to combat the other fire. And pretty soon, Jack, that fire that they started, it burns up all that stuff in its way and it catches up with the other fire. And there's nothing left for the big fire to take a hold of. Church, that's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a fire that combats the fires of the devil and all of his angels that is going to and fro, devouring whom that they may. And you say, today, how shall we be a fire? Ezekiel, the 28th chapter and the 24th verse says it like this, that we are stones of fire. Every one of us is a fire. You remember in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, when he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. And later, in the next verse or the one after it, it says it like this, that the angel, the seraphim, took a coal out of the fire and he placed it in my mouth. And that hot stone that he placed within my mouth, it burned away all the sin. And it made me to know that I had been born again by the grace of God. How many of you remember the day that the Lord sent the fire into your heart and into your life? It changed us, did it not? It took an old soul that was going to die and go to hell and made it a fit subject for the kingdom of God. This fire that comes down today, the scripture says that in the book of Psalms, 104th chapter, that his ministers are as a flame of fire. We're a flaming fire. And people say, well, that just applies to you preachers. How many of you know that you've been saved by the grace of God one more time? You know what you are? You are a minister. Because you are the only Bible. You are the only church that a lot of people see in this world. And yes, he is talking about the men of God, and I don't want to lead you wrong there this morning, but we ought to have a fire that when we come to preach the word of God, that we just don't get up and hee-haw around, but we've got something to preach about that is real. And that people ought to be able to feel it in their heart and in their soul. I tell you, I am a preacher. But I don't want to hear a preacher that don't have no fire. Amen. Amen. I don't want to hear a story. I don't want to hear a poem. I don't want to see a puppet show. I want to hear and preach the word of God that the fire may start in your life and in mine to where it almost feels like, Lord, if you don't turn it down, I'm about to leave this world. That's the way I like to feel in the house of God. The Bible tells us that we are the stones of fire. Some people today are counting on us to be on fire for God. The fire that fell from heaven in the Old Testament, that it come down and they knew it was God. When the prophet was there and the prophets of Baal cried out to their God and no fire came. He said, and I'll paraphrase Brother Ron, he said, let me show you what my God can do. And he rebuilt the altar. He fixed it. And then you know the story. Put all the water around about the altar. And he called upon his God. And what came out of the heavens but a fire fell. And it took up the sacrifice and lapped up all the water that was there. Amen? We can fight fire with fire when we get right with God. John, in the second chapter, in the 17th verse, he said, "The zeal, the fire, if you'll have it, of thine house have eaten me up." When you go to church and you can feel the fire, it feels like when you leave here that you've just been made anew all over again. And I'm not talking about getting saved again. I'm talking about you've had the switch turned up a notch or two. That's what church is all about. Because you see, we got some in the midst this morning that if they don't get right, some that we're praying for, that if they don't get right, the sin, the fire of this world is going to consume them. God is depending upon us to be the fire that fights the fire. And only we can do it. Each and every one of us today. We are the ones that God is depending upon to fight this fire that is raging in our world. In the book of Jude, in the 23rd verse, it says that we are the ones that can pull them out of the fire, out of the flame. If I was to ask today, probably every hand in the house would go up. We've all got loved ones. Let's just be open this morning. We've all got loved ones that Satan has hold of, and they are in the midst of that fire. And let me explain. Once you come to the age of accountability and to know right from wrong, you're turned over to where you're on your own out there with the devil. You're either with God or you're with Satan. If you are with Satan today, which many of our people are, they are in a fire that only God and God's people can pull them out. And you say, "Roger, why did you say God's people?" God uses people to get his work done. Amen? We have a church. You take the people out, we just have a building. We have a Holy Ghost filled church. But if you take the fire out of it, all we have is a building. I'm praying for your people and for mine that are the devil has in this raging fire. Because, and let me elaborate just a little bit more. If my people and yours that are not saved was to die today, they would go to hell for eternity. People, and I know that's hard to digest. How many of you know you got people that's lost and undone? If they don't get saved, you say, "Roger, preaching was okay," but you don't have to bring that up. We know that in our heart. How many of us try to block it out of our mind, thinking that maybe God will speak to them before too long and they'll get saved? Well, maybe doesn't get the work done. We've got to ask God, send the fire down on them. Like they used to pray. We used to hear preachers and people testify, "Lord, make the bed so hard that they can't get no rest." And I remember being in that state. I was afraid I would die and go to hell as I laid upon my bed. But praise God, I went to a church that had some fire in it. Oh, you may have to bear with me this morning, Ron. I thank God that there was some fire that came from the pulpit. The preacher didn't tell us how good we was, or pat us on the back for how much we gave, or just pacified us because we got out of bed and came to church. But you know what he did? He got up and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and let the chips fall where they may. We need more fire in the house of God that will convict our people and show them that they are lost. The Bible teaches us that not only can we pull them out of the fire, but in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter and the 20th verse, it says that we can heap coals of fire upon their head. And you say, why did he say that in the book of Romans? Well, let's read the first part of that scripture. The first part of that scripture says it like this, if I could paraphrase, by helping those that are down and out, we can heap coals of fire upon their head. You know, everywhere Jesus went, he showed compassion. He was a compassionate Savior. Instead of looking at their situation, Brother Eli, and casting them down because they was already down, how many of you grew up poor and had people treat you like you was poor? Right? They would try to cast you down even further. You don't have to tell me I'm poor. I knew I was poor. But when people try to help people, it's like heaping coals of fire upon their head. And people say, you're just too kind. No, it's not me. It's the fire that's in me that is too kind. Because many of us, if it wasn't for the fire within us, we would be selfish. Amen? If you can't say amen, we've got an altar. We would be self-centered. We wouldn't worry about anybody else but us. We would be like the rich man. I'm fair and good, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater barns. That's just the human nature. Get all you can. And we see it so much in the workplace. Step on whoever you have to step on to further your own career. That's contrary to what Jesus said. And folks, some of these same principles has come into the church. Why should I help them? The reason why we should help them is because Jesus first helped me. And many of us today, and I'm not asking you to raise your hands to get a pat on the back, but how many of us, since Jesus has saved us and blessed us, has found it a joy to help others? Amen? You know what? I want to be a hand reached out to try to help pull somebody out of that terrible flame that they're caught up in. You say, but if you reach out your hand, you're liable to get burnt. Folks, love doesn't care what happens. If it destroys me, I've got a better place to go. But we ought to be trying to get those out of the flame. You say, but Roger, they're already in hell. There's no way to get them out. God got us out. Because he is the fire. He can reach down and pull us out of the midst of that flame that is consuming us and change us into what we are today. The Bible teaches us that there is flames that everyone that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior, there's a fire that they're going to face. They think they got it bad now. I talked with people in the past and told them that they need to get saved. And they talk about being in hell. They said, oh, it's going to be, it's just one big party. All my friends will be there. They better read the scripture again. It says that they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. They'll be crying to die, but death will flee from them. Scripture says in the book of Revelation, the 21st or 20th chapter, and this is a little lengthy in reading, but let me give it to you. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up all that which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, this fire that is consuming our people, it's just a prelude to what they're going to be in for all eternity. And you say, and I know I've asked you a lot of questions this morning, but can I ask you one more? How many of us would reach down in the midst of hell if we could and pull our loved ones out of that terrible place? Amen? Nobody wants to see their loved ones die and go to hell. It's a terrible, terrible place. And people are going to continue to die and go there if the church doesn't get on fire for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, Roger, we can't just start a fire. I'm not talking about a natural fire. I'm talking about a spiritual fire. And you know what makes it burn higher and higher? It's when somebody gives a testimony. I once was lost, but now I'm found. How many of you remember that day? That fire came down and consumed that flame of sin that was in your life, put it out, and started a brand new fire burning down on the inside. You say, but if I already had a fire, why do I need another fire? Because the first fire will destroy you. But the Holy Ghost in that fire will fill you. Amen. Oh, it'll fill you. How many of you have ever, I've been asking a lot of questions this morning. How many of you have ever been so on fire you felt like you could take one more step and be with the Lord? Oh, what a time that is, amen? And usually, it's not because the preacher is preaching so good. Usually the reason why we feel like that is because the church is filled with fire. You can feel it when you walk in the door. The other Sunday when the singers were here, I walked in and they got set up, and I went about doing, I was like Martha. I went about doing some things here around the church, getting things ready downstairs for the food and open the doors and everything. And then I came up the steps and they were singing a song. And in the midst of their song, even without music, well, they was playing the piano, but they didn't have all the sound system on and be able to magnify the sound. But what they had, I felt when I came to the top of the steps, it wasn't something that was orchestrated. It was something they had deep in their hearts, and you could feel the fire in the house of God. And then God blessed us with a wonderful service. In fact, it was a great service because we seen the fire come down and put out the sin of fire in my granddaughter's heart, and she got a new fire burning in her soul. And God will do the same for you and for me. You see, people don't get saved by chance. They get saved because the fire is burning in the church. I'll give you another example, and I got to close. This morning we got up, Billy, and Becky said, "Turn up the fire." She didn't say it like that. She said, "Turn the furnace up. It's cold in here." Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just come into the church and just turn the fire up a little bit? And then turn it up a little bit more. Turn it up to the point that we're able to fight the fire of sin with the fire of God that goes out. And you say, well, it would be nice if we could just come in and push a button and that would happen. That's what's wrong. We cannot use God in that manner. You can't come in on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night and just automatically turn up the fire. You've got to bring the fire with you into the house of God. We reminisce about the days when people used to sing and shout in the parking lots or in the foyer. In fact, we didn't have foyers. All we had was a door that went to the outside. Sometimes we didn't even have a porch on the church. When you went out into the elements. But on the inside, there was a fire. I'm not talking about the potbelly stove that sat in the middle of the church, but I'm talking about the fire of God that dwelt in His people. And when they came together, they didn't come to see what so-and-so was wearing or what they wasn't wearing. And I told you a few weeks ago, if you watch me, I'm liable to wear the same suit 2 weeks in a row. But don't get down on me. I'm not worried about what I'm wearing. I'm worried about what's on the inside. And is it ready to go to church and feel the fire one more time? And don't take it wrong. We ought to dress respectfully. But at the same time, you can clean this man on the outside up all you want. God looks on the inside. Amen. God looks on the inside. Some of you might be this morning while Robin Sharon gets us a song. You might have everybody in your household fooled into thinking that you are saved. Some of you might be here. And you might have everybody in your household fooled into thinking that you've got the fire. You know, you can talk the talk. Right? You can read a few scriptures and sound like you are a child of God. You can recite a few and people say, man, that guy or that woman must be saved. But you know what really proves whether you are or not? And let me give this. And Brother Eli, I don't say this to cause you any worldly remorse or tears at all. Folks, there are people that leave this world and we don't have to tell the family, I know that they are saved, but try to give them some good words of encouragement. But folks, when you've seen the fire in their eyeballs, the Bible says you can see the fire through their eyes. How many of you know today that there are many of us that are saved and you say, but I can't testify of it, but I know they are because I've seen the fire in their life. I didn't know I was going to recite that scripture. Brother, Sister Jackie, I can look at her and see she's got the fire. Amen. I can look at y'all and see you've got the fire. You know how you could tell? Because there's joy in your heart. You remember the fire that came down and drove that other fire away from you. We need to fight fire with fire. Because time is running out. Today, you've got Satan in your life. In just a few moments, you could have God in your life. In fact, you could have Him right now if you would just step out and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Church, in words of encouragement to you today, we need to be prayed up, read up, meditated up, if that's such a word or statement, that when we come in here, the fire, oh, there's a song they used to say, the flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. You know what it takes sometimes? I've watched fire. And no, I'm not an arsonist. But I've watched fire. I've been burning some stumps out. And what I notice about fire is that fire will leap. If you got a fire here and within striking distance there's some more dead wood, that fire will leap. And I'll paint you that example this morning, that when I come in here and one of y'all has a fire built up in your life, it just leaps. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says it flows from breast to breast. Doesn't say how it flows, brother and sisters, but I can feel. Has anybody else felt the fire leap from somebody onto your life? And you've got the fire, but it's like when they start talking, somebody is turning your knob, cranking it all the way up. Somebody threw another log on the fire. Or as Becky's aunt, when she was alive, and we go down there in the wintertime, a couple different occasions, I got the privilege of going in the basement and throwing some shovel loads of coal into the furnace. I said, I got the privilege. It's not like I really had a choice. If you want to stay warm, throw something in there that'll burn, right? Sometimes, church, you say, how can I ignite this fire to where it burns even brighter? Well, go back to yesterday and God's blessings upon you. Did God bless you yesterday? Did you wake up healthy and able to get about? Was the kids up and roaring? Sister Billy used to sing a song here that said, when I woke up this morning. Sometimes the greatest thing you can hear is the call from one of your children, one of your loved ones, to hear them walking around. This morning, Becky asked me if the kids was up. And then the next thing you know, we heard footsteps. And she said, one of them's up. And what a joy that is, Ray. But today as we close, the greatest joy there is for any mom and dad, grandma or grandpa, is to see their children and their loved ones get saved by God's amazing grace. Would you stand while we sing a verse of a song of invitation? And then we'll close, if it be the Lord's will. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you are saved and your flame is not burning too high, it's not God's fault, but it's our fault. Would you follow your heart this morning? All you have to do is say, yes, Lord, and God will save you. God will save you if you will just ask. The flame that's burning now in your heart and life, you can't put it out. Well, would you pause for just a minute? How many of us have said through the years, I'm going to do better, only to be like the swine and return right back to the hog pen? Many of us said, I'm going to change. Did you know, as long as Satan has got a hold of you, you can't change. You cannot change. Everything he offers, you might put him off, but sooner or later you will end up accepting what he's offering. Because we are weak. But what God is offering you will not get you into that eternal flame, but it will spare you from that eternal flame and put a fire down in your soul that God has placed there. And every one of us that's been saved, we've got that fire. Amen. Some of you don't know if you got it or not. But you know, I was looking at our fireplace the other day, and it's a gas fireplace, and that pilot light burns all the time. But if you want to get some real heat out of it, you've got to turn on the flame. See, you've already got the pilot light. Now it's up to you and I whether we turn up the flame or not. People say that they've been saved for years, and yet that flame has never gotten to the point where they want it to be. That's why we have invitation. It's so people can come and get right with God. One last verse, and then we'll close.
Just as I
Today, I hope that you consider your relationship with God more seriously. You that are lost, because there is nobody in this church or in your family that wants you to die and go to hell. And even greater than us, God doesn't want you to die and go to hell. The only one that wants you there is the devil himself. And he just wants it so that he can try to destroy another life. And to us that are Christians today, we control how much fire we have in our life. You can sit there and just dare God to bless you. Or you can sit there and say, Lord, here am I. Use me for your glory and the upbuilding of your kingdom. Today, I hope you've enjoyed being in the house of the Lord. And I look in somebody's eyes. Sometimes when people are talking to me, and Ray, I ask them if they've been behaving. Sometimes they'll look aside and they'll say, yeah. I'll say, look me in the eyeball. I want to see your eyes. Because the scripture says the eyes are the gateway to the heart. And if people really have the flame burning in their heart and life, you can tell by looking in their eyeballs whether it's real or not. I'm not judging you whether you're saved or not, but I'm telling you, don't go home and say, I must be saved because Roger said I'm saved. No. You can go home and say you're saved because God said you're saved. I don't believe in deacons, elders, ministers, or pastors calling you off in a room and telling you you're all right with God. I didn't get it that way. I got the answer straight from the source. And that's where you need to get it from as well. Remember our service tonight at 6 o'clock. Come back expecting God to move in a mighty way. And bring everybody you can with you. We got a good crowd this morning. Becky said last Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, she said we had a good congregation, we did. But you know, there's still a lot of empty seats. So bring everybody you can with you. And let's fill it up and let God do the work. Amen. God bless you today.